Praise God. I want to share today on what changes people. What changes people? Now, that's the million-dollar question, because how many people in the world say, I want to change. I want to be different. And I realize that there's some things that, intricacies about all of us that are never going to change. You know, they tell you when you get married, don't think, well, I'll shape him up, or I'll shape her up. And then you're pretty much in a large degree, you're going to get what you see from the beginning. But when it comes to spiritual things, how many know we can change? Liars can become truthful people. Perverts can become clean-minded people. Lazy people can become hard-working people. Hopeless people can become hopeful people, right? So there are many spiritual things that need to change. And I want to give just a couple very powerful things that will help you to change in the areas of your life that need to change. And the truth is, if we're honest, probably every one of us could say today, this part of my life should change. How many can agree with that today? This part of my life needs to change. And so I believe this is applicable to all of us today. So let's pray together. Father, we come. We admit, God, that we are far from perfect. We are far from all that we need to be. And we're looking to you, God. We know that you want to complete a work in our lives. Help us not to stall out along the way, to give up, to quit. And Lord, I pray today that you'll bring clear-cut direction and help to every person in here, that they would be able to stand and grow and develop in areas that maybe they have been stalled out in, and they'll move forward in the plans and the purposes you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's turn today to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This is a wonderful scripture. He talks about being born again, starting that new life in Christ, but he gives some detail about how that happens. He said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. This is important because we naturally have a corruptible seed, right? We are naturally corrupted. You know, I know a lot of people and modernistic ideology is that, well, everybody's basically a good person. The Bible says the exact opposite, that we are fallen. From the Garden of Eden on, Adam, the Bible talks about the seed of sin that was birthed. It wasn't just birthed in Adam. It was birthed in all of us. And so here's the deal. When we get saved, he's not just going to try to make you into a good person. What's happened is he has put in you, the Bible says, an incorruptible seed through the word of God. So when you get saved, he puts in you a new seed. Something new. He uses lots. The term born again speaks of a brand new start, right? We're not the old thing that we are. We are born again. We have the incorruptible seed of God in us. I love that thought. Because when I get saved, it's not just adding a little something, trying to change. I have the incorruptible. You're never going to corrupt. It's the incorruptible seed of God. Now, when we get saved, we have this supernatural seed, but I want to show you another scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, and a new life has begun. The word I want to hone in on there is begun. The new life has begun. He didn't say that the minute you get saved, you're 100% everything that he's got planned for you. No, it's a beginning. Salvation is a beginning. He said the new life has begun. It's just starting. It's very early on. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. Let God transform you into a new person. You know, transformation speaks of a time process. How many ever watched a caterpillar hatch out when you were in school or something? And it starts out a certain way, and there is a transformation that goes on, and eventually that turns into a beautiful butterfly. But it speaks of a time. It speaks of a process. So when you get saved, God has begun something in you. He has begun something in you. You're not everything you're going to be. You're not everything that He has for you. And you've got to keep growing to get to that place. It's called spiritual growth. It's not instantaneous. Character, salvation happens in a moment, but character doesn't change overnight. It's a process. Now, let's think about this seed thing. That God has put the incorruptible seed in us. Now, a seed has a certain glory in it, but it's not just in the seed. So, you heard me over the years talk about my peach seeds. A number of years ago, I planted a bunch of peach seeds when we first moved out there to Lewis, and I really didn't think they would grow, but they did, all of them, right in a row, boom, 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 boom. So I ended up with a peach hedge. And what's crazy, it produced thousands of peaches. It was great. Now, they're not the biggest heavy-duty trees that you like. They're kind of scraggly, but they produce. And so we've been reading recently, we know this last few years, we're getting less peaches. So Robin and I decided this year, the peaches that we got them from an old lady that used to live up along the Dolores River. They're from way back. They're some type of old stock. And so we compared them this year, like to the Palisade peaches, and there was no comparison. They are absolutely the most wonderful peaches you'll ever eat. And so, anyway, so we took a bunch of those seeds, and, Robin kind of gave me grief over that first time, because the initial plan, we were going to give them away, and, you know, Riley and I never came and got theirs, Kyle and Whitney never came and got theirs. It's all their fault, amen? And so, instead of digging those up, transplanting them, we just had this peach hedge. But anyhow, so we decided, Robin was told, she says these trees are getting old now, which is hard to believe, but they've been out there about 15 years. And so, anyways, we decided this year that we're going to try this again. So I'm kind of like focused on seeds right now. And so I was looking at those, and we planted them everywhere. We'll let you know what happens. I don't know if they'll come up, but if they all come up, we're going to have a lot to give away. We did put more space between them this time, though. But anyhow, we planted those, and we still had, so this morning, early on, I'd done sermon preparation, praying, and I was looking, and I saw those seeds. I thought, I'm going to do something with those. There's the last two jars full of them, and they were just soaking in water. So I read where you can crack them over, but needless to say, as I dealt with those seeds, you know, the seed is wonderful, not because of what it is, but because of what it will become. You know, I can hand you a seed and say, enjoy. You know, what are you going to do? Gnaw on that thing? They're actually kind of nasty. And you break them open, and they look weird inside. And so anyhow, the glory of a seed and the glory of the incorruptible seed in you, it must grow. It must develop. There is no glory in that seed if it stays the same. It's the seed that grows. And so let me move this. The person that receives the incorruptible seed and never grows, they deny the glory that God had for their lives. They deny the glory that God wanted to bring to Himself through their lives. How many know you're supposed to bring glory to God? But when that seed does not grow, you do not bring glory to God. In fact, it can work in the reverse. And so everybody, if we're going to change, that what brings change is that seed has to grow. That incorruptible seed, that thing that came from us. You know why God put Jesus right inside of Mary is because he couldn't use anything of man that was kind of. Jesus was that incorruptible seed. He was perfect. He wasn't half Mary and half Joseph. He was all God. Are you with me? And so that seed's inside of you today. Some have been saved a short time. Some have been saved months. Some have been saved years. But have we allowed that seed to grow, to take over our lives and our hearts? Now, Colossians 2 verse 6 picks up this same thought. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue. Everybody say, must continue. Do it again. Must continue. You have to continue. Not optional. He says you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body. So we get saved, but now here's the question. Will you become a peach tree or you will remain a seed that just maybe got some life? You know what's weird is even when they look dead, if you crack them open, they actually many times have life in them, at least for a period of time. But then eventually, they completely die out. What will you become? Will you become robust for the Lord? Let me read you something that a wonderful old preacher named Paul Truel, and he's passed on now, but he said, the enemy knows that he cannot destroy the life that is in you, but he can retard or impede the spiritual development of that life, or he can bring you to a place where you're alienated from that life. So, are you retarded today? Are you a retarded seed? An impeded seed? Are you a seed that is not becoming? You know, it's really our fault as far as that first group. Now, we got better hopes for this next crop of peach trees. Because a peach tree is supposed to get bigger than this big of a rim, right? And so there's going to be better life, I believe, out of this next crop that we do. Because we have learned some things. We've done some things different. Now, I want to look at two things that will cause that seed to grow to the point where you change. Again, what changes that seed from that little black hairy thing into a big beautiful tree that produces wonderful fruit is growth, right? So that's what brings the change. That's how people change. You don't change just by going to a program. That you need the incorruptible seed that grows in you. And you begin to change because it is growing inside of you. So I'm going to give you two things that are very powerful that will cause that seed to grow and will cause that seed to develop, which will bring dynamic, long-term, permanent change in your life, in your character, in your mind, in your family, in your future. So here's the first one. And it might sound simple, but I want you to really, even if you've heard this before, I want you to open your mind today because there's revelation here for you. So the Word of God is one of the chief things that will cause that seed to grow inside of you. The Word of God. Now, the Word of God is certainly the written Word of God, but it's further. It's what I'm doing this morning. I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm expounding on something by the Holy Ghost, and that has the potential to grow that incorruptible seed in your life. So the Word of God has to grow. That's what's going to make that seed begin to grow. And many people, because they do not feed and water that seed inside with the Word of God, and so it does not take over their life. It does not take over their heart. And so today, God's going to show us something. Matthew 4, verse 4 says that Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. People, so it doesn't mean that I eat my Bible, right? He says, that's where bread alone. He's just making an analogy there. We all know that good bread makes you grow. More than you want to sometimes. Robin makes the best sourdough bread you ever have. She's been making it, and I love it. I mean, I could live on sourdough bread, but it wouldn't be a good picture in a few months. So we limit ourselves, but the Bible says we don't just live by that, but we live by every word. What sourdough bread does to me, the Word of God does to my spirit, and it causes an expansion. It causes understanding. It causes dynamic change. It illuminates my mind. We don't live. So the Word of God, I'm going to give you some things that the Word of God will do to you that you need done to you. First of all, the Word of God illuminates, expands your mind and your thought processes. Let's be honest. We can say we don't think right about a lot of things. And if you're determined that you've got it all figured out and you're not going to change, you're in trouble. Because God's Word will illuminate your mind. He'll illuminate it about marriage. He'll illuminate it about your job. He'll illuminate it about raising kids and about lots of things. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." So the Word, when you read it, when you hear it preached, it shines a light. And you begin to see things. You get exposed in a good way. Some exposure is good. I would rather have the Word of God expose me than blow myself up and have everything, the world have to expose me, right? So the Word of God, it's alive. It's powerful. And so when you let the Word of God come in, it begins to work and that seed begins to jump and to grow. And it says, it reaches down into things you didn't even know about yourself. Things that you didn't even understand. All of a sudden you go, aha, this is what's going on. How many want to be smarter? Not just smarter in a carnal sense. See, a lot of people, they're big on intellect. Oh, you got a great IQ. Who cares? Amen? I want a spiritual ability to grow and to comprehend things. He says, so the Word of God is alive and a powerful. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Just this week, I was preparing this message, I was thinking about that, and so I just went to my Bible, and I said, God, speak to me. And I'm going to tell you what happened. As I read certain scriptures, all of a sudden, it's like something got confronted inside of me. Something got stirred up. Something began. Now, that did not happen. I could have read anything else and it would not have happened. But God's Word is alive. God's Word is powerful. All of a sudden, I got stirred up. I got convicted. See, sometimes we don't like conviction. Conviction will save you. I got conviction. You know, sometimes we go to God's Word and we want it to say what we want it to say. And it's like, well, that's not what I came here for. And God says, well, read it anyhow. And yet it's alive. It's powerful. It goes down inside of you. It exposes what you need to have exposed to you. What you need to, when you're doing something in your life. I was talking to somebody just recently. We were talking about somebody else that they know that was sick. And there's things that were going on. How many would rather have some things exposed so you don't have to be sick no more? See, when God's Word exposes you, it's so you don't have to live sick all the time, spiritually speaking. Secondly, the Word of God teaches and corrects. Again, even a tree that grows needs pruning, doesn't it? Riley was showing me the other day, he said, he's the pruning person in our family because he's got 5 million apple trees. But he was showing me on one of my trees, and he says, "See how this limb is pushing up against that, and that it's pruned, so that it'll be healthier." We just had to have two huge cottonwoods cut down in our house because they were diseased, and leaning in very weird places where the right wind probably going to put them on our house or on the cars, one of the two. And so I wished that had been exposed and dealt with early on, and we wouldn't have that problem. But the Word of God teaches and corrects or prunes our lives as necessary. All Scripture is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. My friends, the best correction comes from the Word. Don't wait until God has to allow something to blow you up. He will if necessary. He doesn't want you to walk off a cliff. But if you will let God, He will correct you by His Word. It'll get down in there. And nobody knows but you and God. That's a little less humility, isn't it? I mean, it'd be kind of sad if everything that He dealt with in your life was displayed next Sunday morning on a church screen. You would show up. Neither would I. You know what? Isn't it awesome? We have God's Word right here. And it will correct us. It will teach us. He says it makes us realize. Wow, it makes us realize. If you are not realizing what is wrong and you get it wrong, then you're not getting enough of the Word. Because the Word makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It teaches. It corrects as necessary. Here's the third thing the Word does. It makes our faith grow. Everything that happens in your life has to have faith. Faith moves us. That faith that only God, He drops a seed of faith in our heart, but then what waters our faith, He says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ or the Word of God. It causes an inner expansion in our mind and our lives, and our faith grows. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness today. You know, every one of us, we battle certain things. It might be a habit we're struggling with. It might be a sickness. It might be faith to believe that somebody's going to get saved. How many ever struggle with that one? They look so far. And so God needs your faith. He needs you to believe Him. How do you believe God? You read His Word, and faith begins to grow. It's that simple. You want to increase your faith? Increase your time in the Word of God and your faith. I'm telling you, if you are pondering daily over God's Word, your faith is going to grow. Great faith comes from people that spend more time in the Word of God. So your faith will grow. You need faith. You need faith to get your kids through. You need faith to see people saved. We need faith that we're going to go in the rapture, don't we? You know, Jesus is coming back. Could be this week. You need faith that you're going. And that comes by the Word of God. So your faith grows. That's a part of that incorruptible seed that grows when you get God's Word. Here's the fourth thing. When you read the Word, and you, whether it comes through the preaching or the direct reading, both are so valuable. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." Okay, so there's two things that'll happen here. If we're going to grow, we need to go on the right paths in life, right? In other words, we need to make the right choices. We need to be around the right people, consistently around the right people. You know, I read something this week by a news article about a 117-year-old lady. She had the Guinness Book of World Records for some time. And 117, my goodness, when she went to 100, she had 17 more years left. Isn't that amazing? And so I was reading about some of the things. Of course, they're going to dig into all the reasons why. And so they gave some physical reasons. You know, like she kept her weight under control. She kept this under, she ate a lot of yogurt. She kept her gut healthy, whatever. But then they got into some of the spiritual things, and I think these are very important. And I don't know if she was saved or unsaved, but she said she stayed away from toxic people. Isn't that a little bit of good advice? You get around people that are morbid and negative all the time and keep you stirred up all the time. Best to do, just do it that way, stay away from toxic people. But your word is a lamp to my feet, okay? So there's two things here. First of all, it's a lamp to my feet. It's going to, your feet, it's a lamp to my feet. That speaks of right here. That speaks of up close, right? It speaks of the decisions today. You know, God's word will give you direction on decisions today. Even the rest of the day. You're going to get out of church today, and you're going to go home. You're going to make certain decisions. Your feet, a lamp to your feet. This is like when you go out and it's dark outside and you don't need to see 10 miles away. You need to see where your feet are going. So you don't stumble over something, right? So you don't trip in the summertime, so you don't step on a snake, right? So you don't run into something that you shouldn't run into. Right? Just recently a guy sent all these pictures. He was camping in Arkansas and he sent all these cool pictures of a bear, and now they found his body. Guess what? Is that bear the guy? How many don't want to walk into a bear? You need a light at your feet. You need something every day. That's the up-close light. He says, but he brings the word. The word will be that up-close light. And he says, but it's a light also to your path. Because the truth is, you need to see down the road as well. You're going to make decisions today. Job decisions, relationship decisions, ministry decision, and you need to see down the road. You need to know the news behind the news. You know, Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. You need to understand some things about child rearing now, because one day they're going to be teenagers. God help us. Amen? You know, you can prepare for teenagers ahead of time. If you have a good Bible, and you begin to see today, this little thing that I'm doing now may help or hurt down the road. Are you with me? This little thing in my marriage that I'm doing now may help or hurt. This little thing I'm doing in my life may help or hurt. There's a light for my path. I like to know what's in the path. I have this really strong flashlight. And the reason I like this flashlight is when I have a cow that's getting ready to have a calf and she makes me get up in the middle of the night, I just walk right to the edge of the pasture and I can shine that thing and I can see clear across that pasture with that warm light. That's the light that lights up our path. You need to see some things. You need to, and God's word, oh my goodness, it will show you things that the world, how many of you ever looked at somebody and said, why are they doing that? This is going to produce this down the road. You know, this, I remember a guy years ago when we were pastoring Arizona, and this guy had such a belligerent attitude towards authority, especially towards like cops. And I mean, right there, I know what the Bible says about authority. And how you, whether it's a school teacher or a cop, I realize that there's balances there, but this guy had such a, well, guess what? He had a lot of problems with those kids. But he didn't have to. Right? Because right here begins to, you teach your kids to respect authority. I thank God that my parents did that. I got plenty of whippings to prove that little fact. I was always more afraid about what was going to happen when I got home than what the teacher or the principal did to me at school. I did get swats at school, but I tried to hide that from my dad, because if I got them at school, I got them worse at home. It's rare occasions when there's once in a while when there's something going on there, but and we want to avoid those long-term things. How many of you ever said, I wish I would have known this? You can. How many realize that? Let me ask you this. Do you think that something that's going to wreck your life down here, God's not going to show you down here? He loves you. He loves your kids. He loves your family. He died on the cross for you. Why wouldn't he show you what you need to know? He is showing you, but a lot of people do not have the right relationship with the word until they miss it. So God's word is a light to our feet, it's a lamp to our feet, and a light to our path. Psalms 119, 130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. I love that. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You say, who's the simple? You. Me. We're not so smart. We don't have it all figured out. But God's word is a light, a lamp to our feet, and a light to our path. The next thing the word does, the fifth thing is this. It keeps us from sin and destruction. Randy, go and get that stuff if you would. I'm going to give you an illustration this morning. See, when we get saved, the truth is we've got a lot of mess in us. And I'll just use the term darkness. We're not all cleansed and pure. And Ephesians 5:25-26 says, Christ gave up his life for her, talking about us, the church, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. What washes us? The cleansing of God's word. So we come in, and in reality, this is what our lives look like. We're supposed to be a nice, clear cup of water, but this is what we, a lot of us look like, right? We got darkness. We got attitudes. We got lust. We've got demonic activity sometimes in our life. We have unforgiveness and bitterness and prejudice. And we lie. We've done all. We have turmoil in our relationships. And so here's the problem. How do we get that out? How are we going to get that dark sin coffee out of our lives, right? How do we do that? How do we make ourselves pure? We saw this at the conference. He just spoke to my heart. Let me show you how God works. So to get that out, here's God's word, right? So this is how God begins to clean you. And you're still pretty dark. But if he just keeps pouring, you pour God's word, more of God's word, this may take days, weeks, but what's happening in that cup? Getting lighter, that's you. Amen. You're getting cleaner. Amen. You're getting a purer mind. You're getting, isn't there hope in that? Amen. When I saw this, I thought, wow, that can be me. God's doing something. No, it didn't happen overnight. But look at what's happening in us. There's still just a slight tinge, but the more you go, I mean, we're getting something that's beautiful now, right? How does he make you beautiful? How does he take all that gunk out of your heart, all the things you say, well, I'm just this way, my family's just this way? You just keep pouring the word in.
Amen.
And there you go. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Make a mess for sure. Good mess, though, right? Doesn't that give you hope? You just begin to pour God's word. And he says it right there. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. How did David get that awful adultery? I mean, those are some dark sins. There was like tar in that glass. How did he get that out? He just poured the word. He said, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we're washed. Literally, he says, we're washed by the word. Your mind is washed. Your stinking thinking is washed. The old things that you don't like about yourself, they're washed out. Yeah. And pretty soon, you're a different person. Pretty soon. I mean, maybe today you'd say, well, I'm not all clear like that, but I'm a lot clearer than I was a few months ago. Yeah. Right? Don't be discouraged. Just keep washing yourself with the Word of God. The sixth thing is this. As we deal with all of this, you say, well, what do we need to do? You need to become a person of the word daily. And that daily, I'm not talking about earning. You're saved by grace through faith. But if you're going to have all these things work in your life, you can't just wait Sunday to Sunday, right? Thank God for the preaching of the word. Thank God for Wednesday night church services. We love them. They're helpful. But you need daily to pour that word. All of those different things. that are going to make that seed grow. That's going to grow, that's going to grow, that's going to grow. That incorruptible seed is going to, pretty soon, you're going to be an awesome peach tree for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you don't want to be a peach tree, you can be an apricot, amen? But be something healthy and powerful and fruitful. So that's the first key to permanent change. You're watering that incorruptible seed with the Word of God. The second thing is this. In Psalms 25, verse 9, it says, He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them His way. I'm going to tell you a huge key to that seed growing and you becoming what God wants you is a simple word called humility. It's huge. James 4, verse 6 says, Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace. His favor only comes to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, be miserable, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. See, Jesus, when He walked in the flesh, there were groups of people, and they had the Word, but they did not have humility, and He couldn't do anything with them. You can have the Word. The first part is very critical, very important. But without humility, there's no flow of grace. It's the combination of the Word of God and humility working in our lives. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because they were untouched. He literally walked among them. They were untouched. You couldn't have found a better church than Jesus' church. Right? But they were unchanged. Not because of Jesus, but because they lacked humility in their heart. If we are not changing, there's a good chance there's a humility issue in our lives.
Amen.
I want to read you something that is powerful that I read a number of years ago by David Wilkerson. It says, Let me distinguish clearly between pride and humility. A humble person is not one who thinks little of himself, hangs his head, and says, I'm nothing. Rather, he is one who depends wholly on the Lord for everything in every circumstance. He knows the Lord has to direct him, empower him, and quicken him, and that he's dead without that. A proud person, on the other hand, is one who may love God in a fashion, but he acts and thinks on his own. At its root, pride is simply independence from God. And the proud person makes decisions based on his own reasoning, skill, and abilities. He says, God gave me a good mind and expects me to use it. Trouble is, it's a carnal mind he gave you. And you need him to work in you. Okay, so it's silly to ask for him to direction in every detail of life. The person is unteachable because he already knows it all. He might listen to someone who is higher in authority or better known than himself, but not to someone he thinks is inferior. Think about that. Let that settle in. Not one word a proud person receives is of God. It is impossible for him to judge righteous judgment. Impossible to speak God's mind because the Holy Spirit is not present in him to bear witness to truth. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above, Proverbs 14, 12 and 14. Pride is independence. Humility is dependency. The humble Christian is the one who makes no move or decision without first seeking counsel from the Lord. Scripture clearly states God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. He goes on in that scripture. He says, but he cannot order the steps of the independent spirit. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to realize, I don't have the answer. You know, a good indicator is when we argue a lot, when God's trying to speak to us, there's a root of pride at work in our lives. And so, humility, that you will stay stunted. That incorruptible seed needs the Word of God, but it needs humility. And when you combine those two things, you'll see powerful results in your life. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time today, but in Psalms 107, here's your homework today. Everybody should read this afternoon Psalms 107. And there are, I think, four scenarios in there where people got themselves into problems. Sometimes it was rebellion. Sometimes they wandered off. The first one says they were wandering homeless in the desert, hungry and thirsty and faint. And here's the basic steps. You will see it again and again. And you'll see God move like he says there. They got off course. They rebelled. Maybe they said they did business, but the business blew up on them. And they got, but then here's the first thing. They cry out to the Lord. Don't be too proud. Cry out to the Lord. And it says immediately God moves. And straight, and he led them straight to safety and a place to live. Aren't you glad? He didn't say, well, you got yourself into it. Because about 99% of our problems, we did get ourselves into it. But they cried out. The Lord helped them. But he ends with this interesting question, and this goes, again, to humility. He says, oh, so this is the person that's been helped. Oh, that these men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for all his wonderful deeds. He doesn't say they did it. He said he wishes they would do it. Oh, that they would. And again, he says, oh, you know what will solidify humility is when you do not forget to thank God every day for what he's done. Don't ever forget what he's done. Big things, little things. You pray a small prayer today, God answers it. Oh, that they would give thanks to God. I believe God's going, looks, he says, oh, that I wish they would, because when you thank God, yes, it glorifies him, but it solidifies something, and it definitely speaks of humility. Amen? Thankfulness shows humility. People that never say thank you have a pride problem. People that never get on their knees and say, Lord, I'm just so thankful, you have a pride problem. So you've got to have those two things. That seed will not grow without humility mixed with the Word of God. Let's bow our heads today.